Hello and welcome back to Fertility Matters with me, Jessica Hobbis. This is the show where we talk about all things related to the health space and have a range of experts from the field in. Hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome back to the show, everyone. Today with us, we have the lovely Pilar. And Pilar's a registered nutritional therapist and certified functional medicine practitioner. She focuses on each client really as an individual and analyzes their body systems to really get to the root of their health concerns. And so she can address this with personalized nutrition and lifestyle changes. She works globally via Zoom and runs a highly successful preconception and fertility clinic for men and women, and also specializes in women's health. So investigating factors which are causing any issues and also may have some kind of impact on hormonal balance, fertility, pregnancy, and more. But yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's so great to have you on. And I kind of provided a brief overview there, but I know our listeners would love to know just a little bit about you, a bit about how you got involved in the space and how you decided to focus on women's health.
Right. It's a little bit of a long journey, I suppose. I started, you know, my sort of professional life as an accountant and a banker. And after quite a few years there, me and my husband, and we decided to start a family, and it didn't go very well at all. So we had some fertility issues, and we sorted them out, but by luck, right? Sort of, you know, taking a very sort of lifestyle approach, diet approach, taking a break, moving to Spain, sitting on the beach. And that really, you know, we got three kids now. It worked. Mm. But that was kind of lucky because at that point, you know, many, many years ago, there wasn't any, you know, there wasn't sort of like the fertility sort of functional medicine sort of stream that we have now. Yeah. So it was all like done just because it happened and because it felt like the right thing to do. So after my first child, I went back to university. I enrolled in a nutrition course, qualified, then I did IFM. And, you know, from the minute I had my degree, I started focusing on women's health and fertility. And that's that. So it was a long journey, but I think it was all sort of like, you know, sort of it was always going to be that. And it had to sort of like, you know, hit me bang on the face, you know, when our own issues in order to sort of like switch gears and give up the numbers and sort of start with their science.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I'm so glad that you managed to have a positive outcome and really, yeah, such a personal story behind it, I think, as well, always is such a good motivator to do that in your day-to-day work.
Yeah, because you understand it from, you know, from the personal side as well, right?
Yeah, completely. And today we're kind of going to focus on the semen microbiome and more male fertility side of things, just because I know this is an area that I know we're both interested in and you know a lot more than myself about. So I'd love to know for our listeners the role of sperm infertility and just as a male health market in general.
So in terms of, you know, fertility is, you know, is 50-50, right? You know, it takes tango, whatever the way you want to describe it. But at the end of the day, you know, the research tells us that about 20% of infertility cases are driven by male factors, so sperm. And of the 30% of those cases, of the infertility cases, have some, you know, male fertility contribution towards it. It could be joined between sort of male and female. That's a pretty high number, right? That's a pretty high percentage. Mm-hmm. And up until quite recently, you know, when companies like, you know, such as you know, Screamy yourself, sort of, you know, starting to sort of focus a little bit more on male fertility, it was an area that wasn't really sort of researched that much. Yeah. So focusing on that, on the female side of things, and there was an awful lot done there, but now we're sort of seeing more and more done on the male side of things. So in terms of sort of how the sperm role in infertility is, at the end of the day, you need sperm to fertilize an egg. So the better quality that sperm provides, the easier it's going to be to get pregnant, and the easier it's going to be for that pregnancy to lead successful delivery, right? So even if when, you know, your male partner does a test and the test is like, all right. So typically doctors are always fine. And, you know, you look at it as like, you know what? It still could be improved, right? And your wife, girlfriend, partner is doing all this work. So you could do a little bit more to get that sperm up to the next level, so things become easier for both of you. And also, you know, at the end of the day, embryos are made of, you know, as I said, egg and sperm. So you want to end up with the healthiest possible embryo, right? baby in the end, right?
Yeah.
So the part, the, you know, the gamets, the parameters that you, you sort of like, you make that equation with, the better the result. So so that's like the role of sperm. And then in terms of what sperm means in terms of like general health, I always look at sort of fertility as the pinnacle of health, right? Because if your body doesn't think that you're ready to reproduce, right, it's going to take resources away from things that are not really kind of important for, you know, for you at that point. So if you need, you know, your heart, you need your, you know, your digestive function, you need to move. But do you actually need to reproduce if you're under threat? Say, if you've got an infection, if there isn't enough food going
Yeah.
around, draining too hard, if you're too stressed, if you're not sleeping. Well, not really. So for women, we're born with all the eggs we're ever going to have, right? So we need to preserve that quality. But for men, it's slightly different. Well, it's very different, actually, because every 3 months, they're going to get a new batch of sperm. So eight. Massive opportunity at turning things around with the test, the sperm test, or the DNA fragmentation, or the microbiome test, comes up with something that is like, yeah, could be better, or definitely an issue here. But in terms of what the sperm represents, because sperm is produced in such a regular, it's produced daily, really. So
yeah.
The more you produce, but it's also stored. So it gives us a couple of, you know, two different perspectives on what's happening with the body. It's like, how much sperm are you producing? Are you producing it correctly? Is it sort of looking healthy? Is it, you know, is it, are we seeing any antibodies there? Are we seeing any agglutination? Are we seeing any issues? And what's the volume? What's the concentration, right? Because that's very linked to hormones. That's very linked to testosterone. And your testosterone is the one that kind of like kick-started the process. So if your testosterone is low, I mean, first of all, you might feel a bit tired, you might be sleeping great, you might be putting on weight, you might be losing muscle mass. But at the same time, that might be an indicator that your health is not amazing.
Yeah.
Seeing testosterone levels like going down and down and down, you know, over the last, I mean, they've been sort of decreasing over the last few years. I mean, lifestyle really doesn't help. There's quite a few things that men can do that are relatively simple and can increase the testosterone levels, which at the same time can kickstart the process of producing more sperm. The same quality, not so directly, you know, the sort of factors that would influence the quality of that sperm, but, you know, testosterone is a good starting point. Let's get it produced. Let's work on the quality.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I completely agree that the onus is so often put on women with regards to fertility, and so much even of marketing and just organizations in general seem fully geared towards just the woman. But actually, reproduction requires, as you said, a sperm and an egg. And 50% of the genetic material that the offspring are going to have are going to be from the male side of things. So it doesn't. It simply doesn't make sense for just women to focus on improving their health and really getting the best chance there is. It really makes sense for men to as well, particularly with that 3 month kind of turnover rate that you mentioned.
It takes an egg sort of like 3 months to get from like the deep freezer. What was my analogy anyway? You know, from sort of getting, it takes the egg three cycles, about 3 months, you know, to get ready to be fertilized, right? So that gives you 3 months to work on that sperm. Especially if you know if an issue. I mean, if there is a big issue, it might take a little bit longer than 3 months because the issue has to be sort of like sorted out first. And then, you know, you produce the sperm and you get like, you know, those 3 months where you're sort of rebuilding the reserves. Yeah. But it's a relatively easy process if you compare it to, you know, an IVF cycle, for example.
Yeah, no, completely.
That a male won't have to go through, well, other than sort of producing the sample, but, you know, maybe you don't need to get to that, or you don't need to do three different cycles. You know, the first cycle will be sufficient because the sperm quality is better.
For sure. And we've kind of established that sperm quality is a big factor that's important. But so people realize it's an issue. So what would you say to people that now, okay, I want to really improve my sperm quality. What are the most important factors that kind of affect sperm quality?
I think, you know, that, you know, once, I mean, first of all, you know, you just sort of like hit the nail on the head there. So, you know that the sperm is not great, and there's not something that needs to be done. So testing is paramount. Like the amount of times that I get a couple to come work with me and I ask for the test, like, oh, we have any? Well, we haven't. I mean, like the female side has got tons of them, but sperm was tested 3 years prior. I'm like, well, no, that doesn't work. So testing, doing a basic blood test, testing your hormonal balance, not just your testosterone, doing a full sort of screen where you know what's happening with those hormones, right? Checking for inflammation. So you got the basics and you know what's going on in there. If the sperm test is going to question marks around it, with some markers that are not looking great, especially with normal forms, then definitely look into DNA fragmentation and then take a step further into what else could we test, which could be, let's have a look at infections. Let's have a look at the good and bad bugs. Are we looking at the microbiome, right? Mm. So just kind of like, start thinking about what can I look into in order to improve things? But, once you've got the test results, what can you do in order to improve sperm quality? Well, it depends on what you find. So if you find that, the issue is sort of production and your levels of sperm are particularly low, then we need to boost that. So the question is, why is this happening? Mm. I mean, is there anything sort of genetic? Hmm? Is there any trauma? Is there any malformation? Or are we looking at, nutrient deficiency?
Yeah.
Looking at stress, lack of sleep.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Are we sort of looking at the basic factors that your body will be like, okay, you're so tired, you're so like low on resources, forget about producing sperm, right? Let's just get your brain working. That's quite extreme, but let's make sure that you've got enough resources that your body allows you,
to produce. Yeah, definitely.
So in terms of nutrients, I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, you don't need to sort of like eat, you don't need to sort of look for obscure foods, right? But, sort of balance your meals. Right. So make sure that you get enough healthy protein. At the end of the day, sperm is made of protein, right? If you know that, that the head of the sperm is like packed with DNA. Make sure that you get tons of antioxidants. The sperm itself has got no antioxidants. It's basically, the fluid it swims in is what brings the antioxidants, right? Mm-hmm. So once it's produced, and you will need nutrients, from those food, that fresh food to produce the sperm, but you also need to preserve it. So you need the antioxidants.
Yeah.
Yeah, all your fruit and veg, the darker the better, the more mixed the better. Don't forget your green leafy veggies and your brassicas, your broccoli, your cauliflower, because they help you excrete toxins, right? Don't forget your starchy veggies, because they're going to support your gut, they're going to support your microbiome, because at the end of the day, these little bugs, they feed on fiber, right? So the better you eat, the better fed your bacteria are going to be. And your bacteria are going to support you as a human being, but also as a, so as things like, like your sperm or your bowel function. And then both things, well, and actually we talked about the protein, talked about the veggies, the starches, the grains that will give you the fiber, but also some nutrients. Of course, fats, we need good fats. Mm-hmm. Fat is not the enemy. No matter what people, what people tell you, you need good fats in the diet.
Yeah.
Help replicate your DNA, right? So it's really important to make sure that you get your olive oil, your avocado, your nuts and seeds, which incidentally we'll have selenium and zinc as well, which are great for testosterone and sperm production. So, sort of varied, healthy, and also trying to sort of avoid the foods that will definitely play against you. So processed, trans fats, anything that is, sort of refined, so like refined oils, margarine, anything that comes out of a box, anything that is sugary, like, forget about the donuts, right? Like in the morning, you don't want a coffee and a donut, you want your granola and your blueberries, and ideally a green tea if you can manage that, and alcohol. It's quite a big one, right? Because, I mean, especially for sort of like people in the more fertile bracket, which would be like 30 to 40, they are, not necessarily the peak of the career, but, the careers are developing. They might be working in a very stressful environment. They get home, they have a couple of beers, or they open a bottle of wine. And you know what? That's quite nice. I'm Spanish. I mean, I love my red wine. But, the word there, or the key there, is moderation.
Yeah.
Because too much alcohol is definitely going to increase inflammation. It's going to deplete nutrients. It's going to increase calories. It's going to potentially sort of increase your abdominal adiposity, your fat around the tummy. is it going to increase the temperature of the testes? And what do you think is going to happen to the sperm? It's going to be swimming very, very hot liquid. That's not good.
No, completely. And I think, yeah, so much of what you've touched on there is so important. I think such a key part of that is just balance, isn't it? I think that holistic, all-rounded approach to balance, even if you mentioned even the mental aspect of things. So balancing stressful situations with more positive ones. I think it's all about taking that into consideration to really, if you're looking at it in a general sense, then that balance, I think, is the key word there. And I think it's really important.
But if I had to sort of like, you know, pare it down to two or maybe three things, is it would be work on your sleep, go to bed early. I mean, early, not crazy early, but, you know, so try to be in bed by 11 o'clock, be off screens, promote good, healthy, quality sleep. Because that's going to set you up for so many better, you know, so much better for the rest of the world for the next day, right? So you're going to have better food choices. You might have the energy to, you know, to walk to work or even work out, right? You're not going to reach for the sugar. You're going to deal with the stress better. You're not going to reach for that extra glass of wine. So if anything, get sleeping better and more, because we all kind of completely sleep deprived for whatever reason, like, you know, too much screen time, too much work, too many things going on, too many trips across sort of like time zones or whatever it might be. But just kind of, you know, that's a really important one.
Yeah, definitely. It really sets you up for the day as well, doesn't it? If you've had a good night's sleep, then, as you said, you're way more likely to make those positive choices, which is really sets up your whole day. I think that's obviously also interesting and important, but I think kind of moving on to the semen microbiome in particular, I know that's a topic of it, like, that we were going to speak about today. I'd love to know what you know about how this affects fertility.
Right. So think about, you know, so one of the things that we didn't touch on, you know, or I missed out on this off my list of things, you know, that can affect sperm, is inflammation and infection. Mm-hmm. Right. So if there is an infection around the area where sperm is kept or what is produced, that's going to increase the chances of that sperm not being as healthy as it should be. Or maybe it's healthier at the point of production, but once it's kind of stored in the testes, you know, because the infection is there, the inflammation is there, it gets damaged. Right. So the microbiome plays a really important role because it's there. Right. I mean, we've got bugs all over. Right. Don't see them, thank goodness. But, you know, they're sort of, you know, they're in the gut, they're in the mouth, they're on the skin, the nose, the lungs, the vagina. They are in the urinary tract of both men and women, and also in the testes, right? So at the end of the day, we need to make sure that everything that we can do in order to reduce the inflammation or keep inflammation under control and make sure that there's no infections is done. So the more we know about the microbiome, and this is kind of still an area we all discovering together, right? But we all discovering, right? So now we can sort of do like nearly like a download of anything and everything that is in the microbiome of the sperm, and sometimes even the urinary tract as well. And the question is there anything in there that's promoting inflammation?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in there that is not letting the good bugs do the job? Is there anything in there that male and female can be sort of passing from one to another and can be perpetuating an infection? Is there anything in there that is causing sort of issues to the point that ejaculation is difficult? Or is there causing any issues to the point that the vaginal microbiome is affecting the endometrial microbiome and implantation might be an issue? Yeah. So it's quite a wide subject. But it's still open to, you know, I wouldn't say interpretation, that's not the right thing. But it's still kind of, we still need more research to understand which of these bugs does what.
Yeah.
It needs to be addressed or not. And at the end of the day, because there's so many bugs, right? There's a large number, but there's also a very large sort of array of different ones, right? So we need to sort of have a better understanding of what's there. Do we treat it? Do we not treat it? Do we address it? Do we send it to the doctor for antibiotics? You know, is it just like commensal, and we should just like leave it as it is? But we've got the tool, and the tool is really important, because especially when we get to the point that we've addressed everything, right? We've investigated everything, and it's still not happening. Or, you know, sort of like we keep testing the sperm and it's not getting any better. And eventually we do a test that is more sophisticated than just sort of like looking for four bugs that, you know, the normal sort of more standard laboratories would do. I'm like, aha, look at it, it's here. And you know what? She's got it too. And that can be, you know, sort of the piece of the puzzle that we need in order to complete the fertility. Right. So that's why I think sort of like checking the microbiome, checking which are the bugs that are more prominent in that microbiome, seeing the volume, seeing, you know, what we can do to support a healthy balance, because everything is about balance. You know, what can we do? Can we do probiotics? Can we do prebiotics? Can we do some postbiotics? Can we change the diet? What can we do in order to sort of, make those bugs more beneficial to what we're trying to achieve?
Mm. No, yeah, completely. I completely agree as well. And I think the microbiome is so interesting. I obviously do a lot of research on it, or I was looking into it the other day, in particular the semen microbiome, as Screamy offers a semen microbiome test. But I think so many of the bacteria that can cause issues, such as ureaplasma, mycoplasma, they're actually asymptomatic when you have them. So I found that really interesting how you can have this infection that is causing these infertility issues, or probably in contributing to them at least, and promoting this inflammation, etc., as you mentioned, and all the associated issues with that. But you actually have no idea that you have it, and it's not something that you really notice. So I think that that's so interesting. And I agree, there should be so much more research on this topic, because, I mean, I was looking for research papers myself on the semen microbiome, and there's so few out there that have really investigated this and its direct relation to fertility. But yeah, the ones that are out there have linked like the presence of these bacteria species to being associated with infertility, which I think is really interesting. So I think that's really important what you mentioned. And you also mentioned about how like balancing. So I'd love to know what kind of tips in general. Obviously it really depends on what's present, as you said, but what kind of general tips would you give to rebalance this microbiome?
Well, this, see, then again, it's sort of like down to what we find, right? So as you mentioned, you know, if there's ureoplasma, mycoplasma, prevotella, those guys tend to be, I mean, prevotella is still kind of like, you know, a little bit on the fence, like, you know, is it commensal? Is it a pathogen? What do we do with it? But the other two are definitely pathogens that need to be addressed somehow. So you need to find a health practitioner, either a doctor who's going to give you antibiotics, or a functional medicine practitioner who's going to provide you with antimicrobials in order to reduce the number of those species. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the thing with the microbiome is that, and this applies to every microbiome, not just the seminal one, right? It's a confined space, huge, because these bugs are tiny, right? So, you know, in relation to the bugs, it's a huge space. Mm-hmm. But it's a limited amount of space. So if you take out some bad guys, and at the time, you know, because you've put some killing agents in there, because then you need to replace it with something.
Yeah.
So you need to do some probiotics, which, you know, temporarily is not a bad thing to do. So you need to sort of look at the rest of the balance. Do we need some more lactobacilli? What can we do here, right? But the important thing is to feed the good bugs.
Mm.
Because if you want your microbiome to stand on its own two legs, which is, you know, doesn't have two legs, it's got gazillions, but if you want your microbiome to be strong, you need to feed it properly.
Yeah.
So taking a probiotic on a daily basis for the rest of your life is not the answer, right? The answer here is to get prebiotic fiber. So, you know, you call it inulin, you call it like fructose oligosaccharides. You could do some fiber from foods, right? So you could do more fruit and veg, you could do more whole grains, definitely more whole grains, and both of them, right? So not just make sure that you eat a lot of whole grains, but not enough starchy veggies. We need all of them.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, they provide different foods for different species. And I can tell when I look at a sort of a gut microbiome, and I know that somebody doesn't eat, is on a paleo diet, I can tell, because some species are just not there. They're not being fed.
Wow.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. But because also, you know, the test that we do tends to be very sort of, you know, it tests like a wide range of bacteria. But if you can, if they agree with you, you don't feel unwell when you're eating some of those foods, the more roughage, the better. Obviously, you know, if you've got a gluten intolerance, or, you know, good with wheat, or you're trying to avoid it for whatever reason, you know, find substitutes. So perhaps quinoa, rice, brown rice, obviously, gaba rice, millet, amaranth, whatever you want to go for, and the starchy veggies. So your potatoes with the skin on, organic if you can, sweet potatoes, squashes, and so on, right?
Yeah.
You want to feed that wonderful microbiome. Now, probiotics from food, so fermented foods, basically. So you know, you're sort of like old-fashioned, so sauerkraut, your super trendy kimchi, miso, yogurt. Depends whether you do dairy or not. So I tend to be very balanced, you know, with foods as well, because I don't tend to take everybody off gluten and dairy unless I absolutely have to, because they're kind of quite, you know, they could be quite good if they're like organic, fermented, they give you good fats, protein, they give you live bacteria, right?
Yeah.
They don't agree with you. You know, you've got a hormonal imbalance and we think it's coming from, you know, from the diet. No, absolutely no way, but they're not good for you. But if there's no reason to think, there isn't a valid reason to think that they're not good for you, just going gluten and dairy free is might not be for everybody.
Mm.
So, you know, fermented foods in order to get like that natural bacteria into your microbiome. So we got those, you know, the prebiotics, the probiotics. We can do some postbiotics, things like, you know, for females, we can do some glycolic acid, some lactic acid in order to sort of, you know, support the vaginal microbiome. Mm. Just to sort of, you know, give a little push after sort of eliminating the guys that we think, or the bugs that we think are causing trouble, and repopulating those gaps with probiotics. You need to keep it going, right? And you keep it going with a lifestyle. Stress doesn't particularly help your microbiome. Lack of sleep doesn't. Alcohol? Mm. Sugar, gosh no, because it would feed the bad species. So you know, we're going back to the same things, right? So we'll support your microbiome, support your sperm quality, right?
Yeah,
you in your healthy weight. So at the end of the day, it's all about sort of like having that balanced lifestyle, which, you know, supports you as an individual.
Yeah, no, I think that's really useful. There's so much information there that I'm sure everyone will have at least a couple of things that they can take away from that. So that's really useful. Thank you. And I'd love to also ask whether there's obviously the issue, can we bypass sperm quality issues or imbalances with IVF?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I mean, that process was designed to sort of bypass any issues with fertility in general, right? So if there's an issue with sperm, you could do IVF, if that sperm is, you know, it's low quality, there is low concentration, the motility is low, but that's really, you know, that doesn't really mean that you're going to get the best quality embryo after doing that, because there's a lot of intervention.
Yeah.
It does work. But if you could work on the quality of the sperm, even if you have to use IVF, the result is always going to be better.
Yeah,
agree. From IVF, we can go to ICSI when, you know, one or several of the sperm are sort of chosen by embryologists, right? They're very highly qualified, very highly trained professionals, right? Scientists. So they do the best. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're sort of bypassing natural selection.
Mm.
So the more you can do to improve your sperm and sort of move from ICSI or INSI, you know, to IVF, and potentially from IVF to natural fertility, that's always an improvement to us all. Like, you know, supporting, you know, the more, you know, the better outcome. And also, you know, all those techniques are brilliant. They're like easier if you're a male, right? But if you're the female, sort of the equation, you're bearing a lot more of the burden of the process, right? Because you still have to go through the stimulation, the egg collection, the sort of the transfer. It's quite a daunting process, right?
Mm.
And you know, if you've ever gone through it, you know, they're like, you know, not everybody goes through it. You know, reacts well to the hormones. The results can be, you know, not satisfying the first time around, second time around even, third time around even. So, you know, it's something that, you know, if you can support sperm quality and do this, you know, achieve pregnancy naturally, or naturally support natural fertility, absolutely amazing. If you still need to use IVF for whatever reason, the more you support sperm quality, the higher the chances of that IVF cycle working, but also the results now, you know, should be better because, you know, you put in better quality sperm there.
And I think, even going back to what you said earlier, where you said when you're at your most fertile, you're also at the pinnacle of your health. And so I think even just from a health perspective, I think making these changes and optimizing your health in that way is so important. So you'll just feel better more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably the one thing that's probably easier for females to sort of to see, right? So if, you know, our cycles are an indicator of health, right? So cycles are regular, periods are, you know, sort of non-eventful, they're not clotty, they're not painful. You know, that's a good indication. If there's anything in there that's kind of hinting at there might be some dysregulation, it's something that you can look into. But for men, you know, it's not quite as obvious. You would have to do a sperm test. It's not a sort of thing that, you know, people go about doing unless they have a reason for it, like, for example, trying to conceive. But I would encourage everybody that's kind of embarking on a fertility journey, not necessarily because it hasn't worked naturally, but just because they are thinking of having a baby, get tested.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fertility tests out there that you can do. And if anything comes up, now's the time. Address it. Don't wait until you're sort of like on the journey for a year and a half.
Agreed. It's all about that preventative care and like holistic care approach, I think, where you can make the small changes now and that's going to benefit you 5 years down the line. And you're not going to have to say, go through IVF or spend years trying or things like that. You can achieve your health goals, even if they're not fertility related. If you want to just stay healthy and prevent disease, prevent infection, I think that preventative care approach is so important.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. Absolutely agree. That would be that's kind of my advice to anyone who comes to me and say, like, well, not thinking just yet, but, you know, sort of in the future. So, well, but if you're like nearly ready to get tested, give yourself a few months to get your head around anything that might come up.
No, I completely agreed. Completely agreed. But that brings me to the end of my questions. And I just thank you so much for coming on. And I just wanted, if you had anything else that you wanted to say or anything else that you wanted to add.
Well, get tested whenever if you're doing anything here, if you think there's any issues with your hormones, if you think, you know, there might be something with your sperm, go and get tested. If feels that there might be an infection here and there, that microbiome will give you an amazing insight of what's happening. But other than that, no, nothing else. Just sort of like saying thank you so much for the work that you guys are doing, for bringing this to the public and sort of supporting practitioners like myself. And thank you for having me.
No, thank you so much. You've been absolutely brilliant. And I think there's so much advice in there for people that may not have known about this topic before, and completely agreed with the preventative testing approach. And also just, I would say, speak to a professional like yourself. Clearly, even just from this half an hour chat, can see that you know so much about the topic. And if people are confused and don't know what to do, I think there are people out there like yourself that are trained in this and they know what to guide you. And it may just be as simple as changing a few things about your lifestyle. It doesn't have to be a dramatic change, but I think it's really important.
Yeah, and the majority of people already kind of know what they should be doing, but they need to hear it.
Yeah,
it's really interesting how many of you is like, I know what to do but just need to hear it. Like, okay, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
and a few more things obviously, but you know, it's a lot of this stuff is just very logical, but you just need to sort of like tell you, sort of like, you know, chop it and dice it so it's actually something that you can implement and then give you enough, you know, sort of like help you through the process, like follow you journey a little bit, because it's not the sort of thing that you get one session and you're done. I mean, you've got questions, you improve, you move forward, you move sidewise.
Yeah.
You sort of like get somebody to help you a little bit there.
Yeah, and it holds people accountable as well. So it's good.
Indeed.
But no, thank you very, very much for coming on. You're absolutely amazing. Thank you. Now that brings us to the end of the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed listening to Fertility Matters with me, Jessica Hobbis from Screen Me, and really looking forward to hearing from you guys next week.